The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Good afternoon. Welcome, welcome, welcome to America's Web Radio. You're listening to Bite of Reality with Mark the Shark. Another amazing week. This week is weak. The job market was a little weak for the week, but hey, you know what? It's Bidenomics. Have you been to the gas pumps lately? Yes. Bring your piggy bank because you are certainly going to need it to fill up. As we approach that $4 mark, welcome to Bidenomics. Listen, they could tell you anything they want to tell you. Doesn't mean it's reality. And that's why you tune in here at Bite of Reality. So, without any further ado, we're going to jump right back into the real. And we're going to start out with my favorite part of the show, Rhyme Time. In the court of public opinion, a tale unfolds untold of former President Trump, now 78 indictments, a story to behold. But as the gavel strikes and weaponized justice takes its path, a public laughter echoes through the halls in an enigmatic laugh. These shockingly meritless allegations finally unveiled. It's clear now America's justice system has truly failed. The wheels of justice turn as the indictments pile high, a web of accusations woven reaching for the sky. His name once held in reverence, now under the spotlight's glare, as the world watches with bated breath and the U.S. citizens begin to finally care. With charges cast like stones, allegations fierce and wrong, the laughter starts to bubble as truth and the lies of Jack Smith prolong. A symphony of scandals, the headlines scream and shout. Yet amidst the chaos, the humor of the political prosecutions now starts to spout. The demonic power wielded of a DOJ out of control, the power of corrupt players at first arrest your political opposition. You would think you're on a roll. But think again, you progressives, this great experiment is about to end. You filled the swamp with monsters, and the conduct of our now government you simply cannot defend. We thought this could never happen, an embarrassing persecution on American shores. When Trump was president, when he shoots, he scores. Terrified they all are if Trump ever gets back in the White House and wins. A guaranteed to you, he will make the corruptors in D.C. pay for their sins. There is no way we continue in Washington like this. The corruption abounds. America has fallen like Joe Biden into the abyss. No more can we maintain this path to the world claiming a state of justice as the constant irreverent persecution of President Trump is at the highest level, clear injustice. But despite missing some sanity in the halls of power, the drama takes center stage. A sardonic dance of power and injustice on its way, I fear we have awoken America's rage. As each indictment is a thread in a tapestry so vast, as reality sinks in, laughter weaves through the darkened threads. The irony is now cast. The mighty progressives led by Biden Inc. brought to question their arrogance laid bare. This laughter in America grows from whispers to a hearty mocking glare. For now, hubris and folly, the consequences begin to ring, as 78 indictments caused the powerful Trump to lash out with facts that really sting. The irony of human nature, a lesser man would have crumbled by now. President Trump seems to get stronger, and America is taking note and saying, holy cow. The banana republic under Biden, America has become. The progressives are coming on America's listening to the lamestream media and being so dumb. But most of the time, Americans are forgiving and a generous crowd. We have reached our limit. Time to let our elected officials all know this. This conduct of persecution must not be allowed. There can be no more one-tier justice enforced. Or is it clear, quite clear to me, that our DOJ from reality has been divorced? In this saga of indictments, there are lessons to be learned. The irony of human nature, where pride can no longer be discerned. For in the darkest moments when America seems to be staggering around, it is a mirror to our flaws, a reminder that under Biden, America has run aground. To seek humility and truth, to face what's wrong and the fence to mend, to try to find a nation once strong where justice finds itself in the end. So let us not forget in laughter's sly disguise the call for change for better days where hope and justice will once again rise. In the court of public opinion, the tales shall soon recede. The 78th indictments, a chapter, another sad point in American history, decreed. But may the laughter linger as a guidepost to the wise, to build a nation once just and strong, where truth and justice again can rise. In a world so bright and witty, where ideas in the White House used to glow, a quirky twist of fate occurred to everyone's woe. For in this now zany land, a tale of woe we do weave. No more incandescent bulbs, no more ideas. Oh, how folks we did grieve. The dark ending of brilliance, only progressives could push this up the hill. They have created another law, just another stupid bill. Once light bulbs twinkled bright above each bright mind's dome, illuminating thoughts profound, great ideas found their home. But this peculiar day, a mishap so unforeseen, no more bulbs, no more ideas. It's as if we are all now living in a dream. The brightest minds now pondered in shadows dimly lit. No more sparks of genius, not even a tiny bit. Our leaders now search for inspiration, but alas, they're in a haze. A world once filled with ideas now danced in puzzling craze. The comedy of thinkers' brain death has taken its task. If you can't figure out how we got so screwed up, the question, don't even ask. We let this happen to ourselves when we stood by and watched. 1 year since the Afghanistan debacle, the worst pullout, Biden botched. But no one is ever held responsible for faulty deeds and idiots without plans. The officials and generals who committed these atrocities, I wouldn't even let them empty a bedpan. A pattern of no culpability and no accountability is fully on display. And with a commander-in-chief like Biden, I fear no enemy will be kept at bay. In this topsy-turvy world where ideas have lost their hue, a sad comedy of errors ensued as thinkers tried to make it through. The leaders rubbed their temples, pondered hard in hopes to catch a break. But without those incandescent bulbs, there were no ideas. Our survival is at stake. A scientist tried sticking spoons upon his head, believing it would spark invention and inspire a thought, maybe one, would spread. One Pentagon official juggled pineapples, hoping rhymes would spring anew. But without the incandescent bulbs to guide them, inspiration was simply askew. But perhaps a lighter shade of insight might get us out of this decline. Just one simple idea from the White House of life inside. We need a sign. But alas, the bulbs are gone, abolished by enforcement of a new law. The only memory of sanity left now in New York City, you can't even use a plastic straw. As laughter echoed through the land amidst the economic haze, the government's financial wizards need to come up with a better advertising phrase. If they tell you the economy, now known as Bidenomics, is really grand, they're hoping you won't actually notice you no longer have any money to buy anything in your hand. The lamestream media reports only what the White House deems okay, while the Biden crime family continues without being impeded to have foreign businesses for favors pay. No more incandescent bulbs and all ideas are lost. We seem to take it all in stride. In the absence of illumination, they have no ideas to be their guide. With blank faces and standing motionless in front of cameras, they stared into space, while America is left embracing the uncertainty as the old guys try to run this place. So this tale concludes of bulbs and ideas intertwined, a funny twist of fate, a quirky administration who has totally lost their mind. For in a world where crime runs rampant and the bulbs are the main concern, it seems the Court of Intelligence, for the time, has been adjourned. In the heart of an asylum, once a place of calm and peace, a strange, curious shift occurred as turmoil did increase. For this upside-down world, the puzzling tale took wing. The insane now run the asylum, and so you'd really think. It's a twisted mind, there's no sanity to be found. It seems that the brain trust has dried up, and there's no sunshine anywhere around. Within these walls, a dance of minds, a spectrum full of hues, a tapestry of thoughts and dreams, where sanity we may lose. But something odd began to brew, a twist of fate unbound. The Washington inmates took control, their pathetic deeds all echoing all around. With merry grins and glassy eyes, they danced amidst the haze. The insane are running the asylum now, in most amusing ways. You can walk around the Capitol, no straitjackets, no restraints. They roam without care. And in this wild and zany realm, the truth and reality seemed rare. The jesters and the kings who we thought would do our business do nothing more than fight with each other. With the cameras on, they ask for our forgiveness. The once called sane looked on with both awe and some concern as the inmates ruled the roost with tricks and injustice at every turn. The jesters and the kings, they laughed and held their sway. In the asylum of their minds, they make no sense, but it's a bright display. The psychiatrist himself now playing second fiddle to the whims of his patients in the Senate and Congress. It's all rather brittle. The psychiatrist scratched his head, perplexed, but found amusement too. As the insane took charge, the expected things, of course, will all go askew. But as in lesson in perception, it was clear the lack of good policies were doomed to fail from their inception. We as the voters from his basement hold up, we were sold a bill of no goods. We took the hook, line, and sinker, a campaign built on falsehoods. In this curious asylum, a lesson lay in store, that sanity is a spectrum, not a label to ignore. For in the minds of so-called mad, a brilliance brightly glows. Their unique ways of seeing things, a perspective to a new reality they do compose. The lines between the sane and mad, not as distinct as we were shown. The asylum's walls became a canvas where truth and injustice have grown. For when the insane rule the roost, they can teach a lesson rare, that in the world's complexity, a warped reality, these perceptions we must bear. So as this tale concludes, in this upside-down stink, remember that the insane too hold ideas that caused America to sink. The asylum's now a lively place, where daily disasters intertwined, for the insane now run the show in this asylum of the American mind. In a world where voices once were free, a chilling change we have begun to see. A tale of silence, fear, and our plight. The criminalization of dissent has now taken flight. The land of free expression, now just a memory. Disagree with this administration, and at your door an FBI and FBI SWAT team, you will see. Don't let the rhetoric lull you to sleep. For while you're sleeping, the rest of your constitutional rights, they will keep. I am not sure how we got here. It was so subtle at best. They took over our schools, and with indoctrination, our future they now possess. Dissent once seemed as a vital force to question, challenge, and maybe not endorse. A vibrant tapestry among our leaders in debate, a hallmark of a just and fair American state. Just when things were great, a darkness did creep in. It ran from his basement, a site, a platform. It was so thin. But little did we know or even understand. This was the strategy, part of the progressive master plan. The shadows now lurk upon the land, and those in power did take their extreme radical stand. Afraid of words that question might, they sought to dim America and our shining light. Laws were passed to stifle speech and criminalize ideas. It started with the process of Trump to impeach. Dissent became a fearful choice in the midst of oppressive policies. They seek to silence the American voice. If you disagree, they will come for you. If they can't find facts, they will make them up and allege a coup. Yet even in the face of the darkest hour, they chose not to cease. They only want now to consolidate their power and nothing less than increase. There must be a way to break these chains, to elect a martyr, a seed of hope that can save what remains. For those who yearn to break this cycle, a terrible state, it needs to happen now. America cannot afford to wait. Politics, talking out of both sides of your face, a tangled web you weave, a game of contradictions where truth's hard to perceive. With words that twist and turn like a tangled ball of thread, it must truly hurt, a web of lies, to keep the story spread. With every moment comes a dance of deception. Someone should devise a political contraception. With every turn of phrase, we weave a web of doubt, a dance of deception where truth's often left out. They smile with one side as the other hides their sneer. Most truly hurt, the mask they wear as the truth is nowhere near. It has to be such a strain to straddle two realities when truth actually gets near. For a politician to lie is such a breeze. It takes a toll on us to keep this act in play, to straddle both worlds at once, each and every day. Your conscience may be torn between right and wrong when you weigh. It must be truly hurt, the weight they bear in this convoluted display. For talking out of both sides of your face, you see, does not really bring a real connection, nor the person you think they should be. So just once, I'd like to see them embrace the path of honesty, let authenticity shine, and find relief from the hurt that comes with politics when truths are undermined. Ah, the end of rhyme time is almost near. With truth and justice in America lost, it is quite clear. We did this to ourselves, starting with defund the police. Gee, what could have gone wrong there? These crazy ideas, we must promptly cease. Want to change things? Then just use some sense. Throwing money at a problem without a plan is just so dense. So think about things at the end of the show. For rhyme time is about to end. I do this all for you. I hope you know. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm telling you, every week, the Biden administration and their cronies just seem to just keep giving me things to talk about. I'm telling you.
You know, Mark, there's a scary thing going on, and I'm sure you're aware of it, but...
Are you talking about Bidenomics?
I'm talking about life in the United States in general now. It has changed so much from when you and I grew up and when many of our peers grew up and our older peers grew up. And this is what concerns me. You're an extremely intelligent individual, and yet I can ask you a simple question and you can't give me an answer. What do we do about it?
Yeah. That is the question.
And, well, you know, we don't have an answer other than the simply, well, you got to vote these bozos out of office. Well, you got to vote. You got to take back our, well, that's all well and good, except there's an underground current going on. And like I said, I'm sure you're more aware of it than I am, but people have had it. I don't give a damn whether it was the 38th or 380th yesterday against Trump, you know? But people have had it. They don't want to hear any more indictments, you know? They don't want to hear any more of this Hunter Biden getting away with it, Joe Biden getting away with it, Pelosi getting away with it. Everybody's getting away with it. And, you know, it's been our history. What happens when the U.S. citizenry finally gets enough of it?
We break away from the stupidity.
And you what do we do? We take
up. As they said in the movie I, Robot, the only logical future is revolution. It is. Listen. This underground has been in existence for a long time, much, much longer than most of us would think. It's been there, but it's been silent. It's been quiet. It's not been in the forefront because they were afraid of being discovered, so they kept it quiet. And they did little things, pushing, pinching, rearranging little things, and it was an undercurrent. It's always an undercurrent until now. Under Biden, who ran as a centrist, he's about as centrist as AOC is intelligent. It's not even clear she understands what's going on every day, let alone him. But here's what's going on right now. And I was going to cover this later on, but I'll play it now. Let's go for it. I think, and this is my honest opinion here, Trump is the insecticide to the infestation of the swamp. I don't think, and I mentioned that in rhyme time, you heard it, a lesser man would have crumbled under this onslaught. If Trump wasn't running for president and they didn't fear him this would never happen. Why would they do this? Look what they did with Hillary. Look what they did with Clinton. Look what they did with Comer. Look what they did with Page and Strzok. Remember all those guys who should have been indicted for doing criminal activities? Nothing. Crickets. Crickets. But here's the thing. This is important. And pay attention here, everybody. You have to understand this. The entire political establishment, not the Democrats, not the Republicans, the entire political establishment, the undercurrent that has ripped this country from the American people, is terrified of Trump being elected again, because he will literally tear the corrupt government operation of both parties up and shred them, and in the process, hand the people's government back to the people, the way it was intended to be when this was formed. Remember the 13 states, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the amendments? Remember all that? Freedom of the press? Remember all that? Yes, it's gone. Obama said it the first time. It's an old document. We need to change. Those are principles, folks. Those are bedrock principles of America. And when you take American bedrock and you rip it out, you have nothing left. And that's what they're doing. And look at the progressives. Look what they have done, the insidiousness of them. And everybody said they could never be this devious in the last election. And they did it. They did it all. By executive fiat, they changed legislation, which is illegal. It was illegal in most of the states they did it. The legislature has the right to change the legislation, not executive fiat. Executive orders, boom, they change them. Go challenge them. And the idiot Republicans were too stupid to understand the very nature of the devious master plot. They were dumb. Plain and simple, there's no other excuse. So what did they do? After the fact, they tried to attack. The court said, it's too late. I'm not overturning an election. You knew about this. You saw the change. Why didn't you do something ahead of time? So your claim is now moot. That's the famous legalese speech. But the problem is here, very simple. Okay? They indict Trump. I looked at the indictment. Now he's got a total of 78 indictment counts. Okay? Now, I expect, without a doubt, just like I said in New York, that Bragg was going to indict him, I expect an indictment from Georgia. Because the more you drag down, you know, I said to somebody the other day, I said, he's like a tuna. He's like a massive, giant tuna, Trump. He is going to fight. He is going to fight for his life. And the more hooks they can put in him, the more things they can do to drag him down, they're going to think it's going to slow him down. But you know what they're doing? This is what they're doing. They've given him the golden ticket. And I said this last week. They gave him the golden ticket to relitigate and point out all of the fraud and show the fraud. In fact, I came across something. You know, I got to tell you, I got to find a different search engine than Google and Bing and the rest of those. Because honestly, my opinion, they all suck. They all do not give you anything other than the left. And I'm not talking left-leaning. I'm talking the left radical is always at the top. Where is the stuff that you want? I want to see the middle of the road. I want to see what the real story is. I don't want opinions. I want facts. And I'm not getting that. So I found this morning something very interesting. The Jack Smith, for those of you who have been under a rock, Jack Smith is the prosecutor, the special prosecutor, the hitman that they hired from the DOJ to go after Trump, the guy who has stretched more statutes than a rubber band factory. This guy has no idea where the law ends and where criminality begins. He's the only guy I've ever heard of to be overturned by the Supreme Court 8-0. You can't get the Supreme Court to agree on what day it is, but he gets overturned for egregious behavior 8-0. So this is the guy they went and they got. Gee, what a shocker. So let's roll back here a little bit. So they apparently sent, and again, I'm not in the email chain, so I don't know personally. It's reported, and you got to dig for this stuff, and I'm telling you, you got to dig hard. It is way buried. On August 2nd, a day before the indictment is ready to go in court, that means it's drafted, it's done, it's finished, They send an email to Politor, who represents Bernard Kerik. Bernard Kerik was the retired New York City police commissioner. He's involved in this, and I don't want to get stuck in the weeds here. I'll stick to the point. They send an email to Politor asking him to provide all of those documents regarding the investigations. Now, here's the problem with that. These were the investigations. What I'm talking about is the investigations into election fraud. Okay? So now, you have a prosecutor's office, Jack Smith, okay, the man, okay, who goes to Subway, by the way, and sends a message. That was the funniest thing I've ever seen. MSNBC was saying the guy went for lunch and got a sub from Subway. That sends a message to Trump. He's a regular guy. Listen, let's get back to what we're talking about, because I could spend days doing this. But they are asking now for information that they were provided for weeks and months ago. They're asking for it again. Now, here's the interesting part. Here's what Politor states. Politor, who's Kerik's attorney, says these documents that they already provided and got were absolutely stunningly exculpatory information with respect to the indictment. You know what that means? Exculpatory means it proves that he was innocent. It shows, and there's a duty in law for the prosecutor to present exculpatory information, because they are the, remember something, the prosecutor is not supposed to be the bad guy or the demon doing Biden's work or Merrick Garland's work. He is supposed to be the finder of truth. This is the system that was set up, the finder of truth, not find a guy and get a crime. That's not what this system is set up for. If it is, then go to Russia, go to North Korea, go to China. Find a guy, we'll get him guilty, don't worry about it, we got it covered. Which is what they started in 2016. Now, what I found really interesting in this indictment, and I'll stay away from quoting it and reading about it, but I really implore you to go and take a look at it. And every time it mentions Trump, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think in your mind, and I want you to say to yourself, huh, who does that sound like? Well, somebody who professed to have proof and evidence of something that was fake, false, untrue, and that you should rely on their fake, false, and untrue information to come to a conclusion that was different than reality. And that now, at the time they made those statements, that they knew that you would rely on them, and that you knew that they were fake. Well, huh, who does that sound like? Well, here's your exercise for the week, folks. I'm going to give you homework. You're going to go back to that indictment, and everywhere you see Trump's name and what he did, I want you to insert Hillary Clinton's name. I want you to insert Adam Schiff, the famous I got the envelope with the proof in it guy. I want you to insert Jerry Nadler's name. I want you to insert Blumenthal's name from Connecticut. I want you to insert Pelosi's name, Schumer's name, Joe Biden's name. Because they did the same thing. But wait a minute. There's no indictments. Why? Whoa. No, it's not a two-tier justice system. It isn't a justice system. When justice is not handed out evenly. And there was actually, I saw an interview with a sheriff. I'm not sure where he was from because I just caught the end of it. This guy did $67,000 worth of tax fraud, not $1 million. He got 10 months in federal prison. Huh. That's not even-handed justice, is it? And that's what the whistleblowers were complaining about. But, hey, half of America listens to the lamestream media, so they don't have a clue what's going on. And that's why you need to turn in here, because I'll tell you what's going on. So here you go. I'm in this system for 35 years, and I can tell you, there is one tier of justice in the justice system, and if there are two tiers, there's no justice system. And that's, everybody keeps saying the justice, two tier. It's not. It doesn't have justice if it's more than one. If there's no equal application of the law, under the law, and no one's above the law or below the law, there is no law. It's lawless. It's chaos. So in this country, we have never, and we do not, prosecute our political foes, our political opposing parties in America. They put Jack Smith in there specifically because he has a long track record of egregious behavior in stretching, taking a statute and applying it to a criminality which never existed. Some will call it a novel theory. I call it bunk. That's not what a prosecutor's job is to do. The prosecutor's job is to find the truth. And if he's not sure what the truth is, then he shouldn't be doing anything. When you go to a Washington grand jury, you know what? I might as well go to the alligators and ask them whether or not they saw any chickens, because I'm not going to get a peep out of the alligators because they ate all the chickens. That's Washington. Let's face it. Let's face it. You can get away with anything as a Democrat in Washington. It's the demographics over there. I think it's over 85% Democrat because they all work for the government. What do you expect? So listen, that indictment is nothing more than political motivated junk. I really think that not only is it unconstitutional what they're claiming in there, but I can tell you this, in my opinion, again, it's only my opinion, little me, they are trying to charge him with violations of freedom of speech. And once again, to tell you how skewed and how corrupt this DOJ has become, the indictment quotes the speech that he made and leaves out the same thing that the January 6th lynch mob did, where he said, go down to the Capitol and peacefully and patriotically protest. But if you put that in there, that blows up their entire indictment. So that's left out. Serendipitously, surprisingly. You know, I have a saying that I use in a lot of motions I've made over the years. And it says, and I quote, the silence is deafening. Close quote. The silence is deafening. That's what I see in this indictment. I'm sorry. I'm trying to look at it through an objective eye, as, you know, some will allege I do not do. But listen, I'm a conservative, but I also am a liberal in some instances. But this is the bottom line. This is absurd. If he was not running for president, I don't think there's a person in the United States right now, other than Jack Smith maybe, who thinks that he would have been prosecuted for any of this garbage, anything. But they need to take him out. Why? Because they have an incompetent, aging, delirious fool running for president. And their second, which would be Kamala, she, I don't know what her problem is, but I can tell you, I don't know if there's a diagnosis, but I can tell you this much. This would be a tragedy for this country to run her in anything. So here we go. Now back to the reality. So this is a great idea. Chicago and California, Illinois, you know, J.D. Pritzker, that guy, the billionaire who wanted to run for president, he's just simply brilliant. This is what he's done. He's set up into law now. And California, I understand, unbeknownst to me, I'm not in California, thank goodness. But you have now the ability to become a police officer in this country, in Illinois and California, even though you're not a citizen and you're here illegally. Yeah, let me say that again. You will have illegal aliens who their first official order of conduct in this country was to violate the law, arresting citizens as police. Talk about eroding faith in law enforcement. What is going on in this country? These progressive people are nuts. This is amazing that this is going on. Just an interesting note. Okay? This is the same people who stopped their police department from assisting the federal government in removing illegal aliens. There you go. It's perfectly fine. We'll have illegal aliens arrest Americans. There you go. What could go wrong here? And let me give you another tidbit of information. Geniuses who are running J.D. Pritzker's brain and California, forget about it. Oh, moly. They're thinking, they keep yelling that Gavin Newsom is the backup for Joe Biden. My God, that's like having a quarterback with no arms. You know, this is not going to work, folks. But, yeah, let them go for it. Let them go for it. Go ahead. Zero cash bail, no police. There you go. And then we'll put some police who are illegal aliens on there, too. So you don't. How long do you think it'll take the cartels to get involved in your police department? 20 minutes or 23? That's ridiculous. That's a dumb idea. So let's keep going. Here we go. This is great. Ah, yes. The Ukraine and the pain of a weak America. So Donald Trump thinks he can stop the Ukraine-Russia war in a couple days. Well, I personally think he might institute the policy, but maybe not that same effect it will have in a few days. But here's the problem. You want to get rid of Russia's fight in Ukraine? Knock down the price of oil. Well, how do you do that? Well, Saudi Arabia just threatened the Biden administration to cut back some more. Set those prices higher and higher. I just paid $4.65 for a gallon. That's ridiculous. Why? Because we don't produce our own oil and we keep buying it from other people who hate us. They hate us anyway. So you know what? Why not get it from here? Duh. Yeah, well. And then Jennifer Granholm this week, energy secretary, says we're going to fill up the strategic reserve and save Americans money. She's another imbecile. You know, this is what you get when you get a checkbox administration. Check off the box, be incompetent, doesn't matter what you do, because no one's going to hold you accountable. It's a brilliant strategy, except for America. So how do we get rid of Russia? What do we do to get Russia out of Ukraine? Well, Chris Christie's over there now. He could eat all the food in the Ukraine, and that would sort of slow down the Russians. But other than that, I don't know what he's doing in Ukraine. You know, he's about as useful as Joe Biden going to Ukraine. Joe would think he's probably in Chicago. But the problem in the Ukrainian war is you have no leadership for the world. You have no leadership in America. Because if the world was led by someone intellectually stimulated with a brainstem or a functioning frontal lobe, they would get the world together and say, hey, we got to end this now. Stop. And if China steps up and says, we're going to help Russia, well, you cut off China from the world. Listen, China's economy, they are export. They are the producer of everything. And you know what? I could go without a new TV for a couple of days. I could go without some cheap more stuff at the mall just to show the point. But we are not tough enough to do that anymore. This is the America that we live in. So Dan Goldman, the New York congressman, comes out this week. And, oh, this is where it begins. The Hunter Archer. So, well, let me finish up first with the federal judge in the Ukraine case. Feels like Russia-Ukraine, but it's not. United States versus Trump in Washington, D.C. What a great forum for a Trump conservative. Uh-huh. So Tanya Shutkin, she's the hanging judge in the ridiculous jurisdiction of Washington, D.C., appointed by Obama in 2014. What a shocker. What a shocker. Yeah, she's going to be the same judge that has made so many disparaging comments about Trump, and she's going to be the one doing the trial. So they stink. And then what was really interesting, it was reported that in the back row of the courtroom, a lot of other federal judges came to see the arraignment. This is absurdly unheard of. This is such a breach of judicial ethics. I can't even begin to get into it with you. This is just incredible. As if they're there to see the joyous moment where he gets indicted. Because remember, he's the coming of Satan. He's the new bad guy. So let me jump right into this. This is great, though. This is just, you know, if I knew nothing of the facts about that case, of the Trump case, having the federal judges sitting in the back row, this is going to be a railroad of a conviction. It's going to be ridiculous. It's going to go up the food chain, and it's going to get overturned because, quite frankly, there's not a shred of anything in there that's criminal. Nothing. The fact that, you know, there was a Seinfeld episode. I think actually it was the last Seinfeld episode where they were charged with a crime of not getting involved in a robbery. And they went to jail. This is what they're trying to do. They're trying to take something he said and tie it into something else. I mean, this is absurd. You might as well say he controlled the weather. But, hey, you know, you can indict a ham sandwich. So here it is. So he was convicted, well, not convicted, he's indicted. Conspiracy to defraud the U.S., conspiracy to obstruct official proceedings, obstruction of official proceeding, conspiracy against rights. So now everybody who slows down a proceeding should be charged with these crimes, right? No. Only Donald Trump, because it's a Trump thing. This is absurd. So again, I'm going to jump right over to Archer Devin interview. So the Archer Devin interview was interesting this week. I read some of the interview. I didn't get to finish it all, and the highlights are pretty much there. I would say everything that Joe Biden said, other than that Hunter was his son, was a lie, was a blatant, outright lie. The fact that Joe Biden claimed that he never talked to his son about his business deals has been completely shattered. And 20 times he was on the phone at business meetings. You know what's interesting? Let's go back and see if Hunter deducted those dinners as business meetings or anyone else there who paid, because Hunter tends not to pay things, whether or not they deducted as a business dinner, because that would be an interesting concept. Follow the money, folks. Follow the money. So we have the criminalization of dissent and why America's failing now. That's it. This is the deal. This is the deal. And I'll give an example, another example, this week from Chicago. Brandon Johnson, and we thought that we couldn't have Lori Lightbrain anything worse than her. Boy, were you guys wrong in Chicago. Oh, my goodness. This imbecile, the mayor of Chicago now, he says the 100 or so teenagers who ransacked and looted a convenience store was not a mob. It was a, ready for this, a large gathering. And he chided a reporter for calling it a mob, saying, that's not the way that we talk about our children. That has negative ramifications. I'll tell you what has negative ramifications. Pretty much leading the country in everything from deaths, shootings, assaults, carjackings, a whole host of other violent crimes. But good thing we are not calling the mob of kids who looted and robbed stores a mob. Thank goodness we're calling them a large gathering. Well, you know what? This guy should get a lobotomy, because the large gathering of brain cells that may or may not be in his head are not working. So he might as well just get rid of them, clean house. This way at least maybe he could listen to music, maybe put an iPod in there or something. This is absurd. This is what the progressives do. This is exactly what they do. They have the concept, they destroy America, and there it is. It's all over the place. So what I did want to jump into now and get away from a little bit of the dumb things that the progressives are doing in this country, you know, defund the police. I'll tell you what, you want to solve the defund the police problem? Let's defund the Capitol Police and the Secret Service. Let's defund them. Let's see how that works out. Because that's the same concept that's going on right now in the minority neighborhoods. And wake up, people. Wake up, minorities in this country. They're telling you that Donald Trump is coming for you? No. The Democrats have already come for you. The progressives have already come for you. They've taken away your police. They've taken away your protections. They've taken away your ability to defend yourself. Wake up. You guys are not stupid. They want you to think you're stupid. They want you to think that way, but you're not stupid. You see what's happening. But they figure, hey, if we say it enough times, maybe you'll believe it. You know, it's the same thing, Bidenomics. Well, we got some great news this week, huh? Yeah, that job market is not exactly creating jobs. It was only 187,000. I think they were predicting 200,000 or 250. Oops. And by the way, May and June just got downgraded to another 50,000. So all those great Bidenomics stuff, how's that working out for your wallet? Yeah, my wallet's a little light. Get any lighter, it can float. But you know what? That's okay. Joe doesn't know what day it is. But this is something I wanted to talk about now. This country has lost something. It really has. It's lost something very important to it. And what am I talking about? No, it's lost its mind. Yes, I know. People are laughing. It has lost its mind. It's lost its sense of direction. But you know what? It has lost the essence of commitment in this country. Now, I'm going to try to unravel what that means. Because commitment actually is a multifaceted concept. But that multifaceted concept plays a pivotal role in shaping human behavior, in shaping relationships and achievements and things of that nature. Commitment is a fundamental aspect of human life, and it's integral to personal growth, to success, and the functioning of societies. This is what's going on in this country right now. We have lost the sense of commitment in this country. And as I said, it affects personal growth, success, functioning in societies. Do you see what I'm talking about right now? That's the core principles. That's the core principles. What is commitment? At its core, I think commitment could be defined kind of, it's an act of dedication to oneself, wholeheartedly to a particular cause or some kind of goal or to an individual even, as in a marriage. That's why the divorce rate's 50-60% in this country. The sense of commitment is gone. So it entails a willingness to invest the time, energy, and effort and resources with an unwavering determination, a sense of loyalty. We had that in the military. We had that sense of commitment, the commitment to the mission. Your last breath was to that mission. Get it done. It's not a fleeting emotion. Commitment is not an emotion. It's a long-term decision to follow a goal. It's associated, like I said, it's a perseverance. It's a responsibility. It's a long-term decision that requires steadfast, perseverance, responsibility. It's often associated with the relationships around us, friendships, family and friends. And again, I said marriage. Those commitments are done in these day and age. But it extends beyond the mere word commitment. It is a global concept. It's a connection with the reality of the society. And it's significant in development of the personal endeavors and professional pursuits, pretty much everything. If you have no commitment to something, you're not going anywhere. So there's dimensions the way I look at it. I say there's a personal commitment. A personal commitment is something you're committed to yourself, okay? Is it a personal pursuit? Is it a growth? Do you want to learn? Do you want to be educated? Do you want to learn something? It's a personal commitment to working out. You want to be well-being. It's a dimension of a commitment which manifests in various ways, okay? It's a lifestyle. If you want to be a healthy lifestyle, investing, getting off those black and white cookies, which, by the way, they are black and white, and they do get along. But investing in self-improvement, things like that. Adhering to personal values. Whatever happened to personal values and principles? Gone. This personal commitment lays the foundation for success and fulfillment in life. It empowers individuals to strive for their dreams and overcome challenges. And trust me, there are a ton of challenges out there. You know, I keep looking at life lately and thinking life is just a series of car crashes. And when you survive one, you get back in the car and you drive along the road and you have another car crash. And then the other thing what I'll tell you is it's the interpersonal commitment. Relationships, trust, support, loyalty, and friendships, family bonds, romantic partnerships, things of that nature. That interpersonal commitment, as I see it, is the glue that binds things together. It fosters a mutual understanding. It fosters empathy. But it also requires an active communication, a compromise, a willingness to weather storms together, strengthening the ties that bind. We don't have that anymore. We've lost that. Did the pandemic contribute it? Did it contribute to it? Absolutely. Did it accelerate it? Absolutely. That's the problem. Then you have what I call the professional commitment. That's pretty simple. You got to get your enthusiasm up, your job duties, getting the job done, staying there till it's done. We don't have that anymore. And you know what the problem is? We have a lot of Gen Z people out there who don't have that because they weren't taught that. They don't have that commitment to finishing something. They start everything and finish nothing. The initiative, the drive, to contribute to an organization, a society, a growth. Why do you think people of younger ilk now no longer want kids because it's all about themselves? Where's the committed workforce? I know the asylum people in Washington, they need to be committed, but they need to be committed to an asylum. We got to take them out of the workforce because that environment's not working. So, but this significance of the concept of commitment is very important. It overcomes, it helps you overcome commitments, and it helps you overcome challenges. It helps you achieve goals. This is, the concept of commitment is the bedrock upon which everything interpersonal and extrapersonal or relationship-wise, it forms the bedrock of all of this. And we've lost that sense of commitment. In this United States right now, we are so busy fighting with one another, and sometimes even with ourselves, that we don't have a commitment to anything anymore. You know, why do you think our military has fallen apart? It's not the people on the ground. It's the people of the higher-ups. It's the people who set the things in motion that take that concept of mission accomplishment and mission completion and a commitment to the mission is gone. So when you take a society and you do that, you in essence destroy the society, and that's what's going on right now.
Mark, I've had a couple of situations this past week, as a matter of fact, and you're so dead on about commitment. You know, Rich is a department store in Atlanta, Georgia, for many, many, many years. They had the saying that no matter what, the customer was right. Period. End of story. You could bring back a pair of 20-year-old sneakers and they'd give you credit for them. They'd give you your money back. You say, well, they're uncomfortable and, you know, they're hurting my feet. You get your money back. Go away. Today, and I've run into it twice now, and, you know, a lot of it I will blame on myself, except in these circumstances, I am argumentative, and I won't back away from a fight or an argument. However, I've been in two situations now within the last few days where I'm on the customer side of the counter, and you got bimbos on the other side of the counter that want to argue with you.
Let me give that Greg Gutfield. A sexist would say.
and I just find it. Well, I called you 2 days ago to make sure everything was. I don't remember any call. You know, and
because it's that sense. It's the lack of commitment, and that's what I'm. It's the bedrock of everything we do. And I researched it this week, and commitment is something that I was taught as a young child. I was taught a commitment by my parents. I was taught commitment by my brother. I was taught commitment by friends. I was taught commitment by school teachers. Who, darn it, if we don't start paying our school teachers in this country the right money and getting the right teachers back in there, this country is gone. While we're busy on TikTok, China just limited their children's ability to be on the stupid devices for only 2 hours a day. Gee, I wonder why they're surpassing us and why our idiot kids are idiots. Because there's no commitment to do anything. Everybody yaps about it. Everybody talks about it. Where is the commitment to get it done? It doesn't exist anymore. Now, you went to the military. You understand mission. You understand commitment. You understand that you're fighting not for the mission itself, but for the guy next to you. That's commitment. Because you're all in this together. We have lost that sense of commitment in this country. And I will tell you, I honestly believe, and I see it in my own kids, that sense of commitment is going to be the death of America. Because these 13 colonies, these founders, these people who developed the system, it was developed to be run by intelligent people who had commitment. Commitment to the flag, commitment to the purpose, commitment to this great democratic republic experiment. And when we got away from that, we have no more commitment to do anything. We just fight amongst ourselves. And that's the way Washington wants it. And that's why they are so terrified of Donald Trump. Because he has a commitment to something. If this guy doesn't, he exudes commitment. Because anyone else would have said, I'm done. I give up. Forget it. Talk about commitment from someone. Holy moly.
You know, the one of the best things that he said is, I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for you.
And you know, I got to tell you.
He's committed. I mean, right there is one hell of a commitment.
I got to tell you, when he first made that statement, I don't think I got the gist of what it meant, or the enormity of what it meant, I should say. Because at first it sounded like, it's a great branding, it's a great thing, you know, Bidenomics, I'm doing it for you, not for me. They're coming for you, I'm just standing in the way. I thought that was all political theater stuff. But the more I look at what's going on, and the more I dig down into this swamp, and the more I get my feet wet and slimy from what's going on in this country and government, he is 100% right. And that's a real, real cause. You want to talk about an existential threat to America and this planet? It's the slime that's growing in Washington. These people have been there for too long. It's the boys' club and the girls' club. I'll be politically correct. But it's profound to understand. If you don't understand the nature of commitment, every human influence, every human concept is based on a quality of the commitment. And commitment enhances relationships. It grows personally. It allows you to grow personally. It allows you to grow society. It drives professional success. It gives you the ability to cultivate trust, to overcome challenges. You create a social cohesion. But we've lost that. If we don't begin to get back to embracing the essence of commitment in this country and integrate it back into our lives the way it used to be, because it paves the way for resilience, it paves the way for a harmonious existence and for accomplishments of the future. I do this not for me. My time on this earth is short, but for my kids. I want them to have that commitment from America. And the commitment to America that I had when I grew up. Every morning we said the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. We don't do that anymore. We've lost that cohesion, the sense of commitment, which is the bedrock of our human personalities and our social interactions. It's gone. And no one's talking about it. They're talking about fighting each other over stupidness. Well, we better get back to the basics. And we better figure out what's going on. So I'm going to leave you with that happy moment in life. But think about it. What's your commitment in life? Work on your commitments. And I'm going to let you go this week. I'm going to work on my commitments. And I commit to you that I'm going to be back next week. How's that?
And
have a great week.
We're looking forward to
Bite of Reality with Mark the Shark on America's Web Radio. Thanks for listening.
We're looking forward to next week and Rhyme Time, your favorite part of the show, and all the other information that you bring to us and the philosophies that you bring to us. As you were speaking about and coming to the conclusion, I was thinking, where was the commitment when these effing idiots said, let's defund the police? Well, in my thinking, I wanted to, let's fund them even more. I want them between me and the bad guy. And I love the cops, you know? I don't like it when they give me a ticket, but nobody in their right mind does. But I love the cops and being able to pick up the phone and I need your help. And they're there.
It is that thin blue line that's committed to protect society.
Exactly.
And that, we owe them all a gratitude and
yes.
A thank you.
Take care, and we'll talk to you next week.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.